Good morning. You are listening to All Access Pass. I am Desi. I'm the Access Collective Coordinator. You were just listening to Emmanuel by Basecamp. That was the Stowe remix. Now, Basecamp is a three-person band from Nashville, and Stowe is a DJ producer from Paris. Now, today on our November 28th show, it's actually our second to last show for the semester before we head into our little holiday break. On this show, we cover issues and topics concerning accessibility for those living with disabilities both on and off campus. And as usual, we are broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, occupied, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. Now, today we'll be listening to two interviews. The first you're going to hear is Monica Gartner. She is the founder of a nonprofit, and she's also an author. And the second is we're going to be listening to an interview with the founder of the academic advocacy movement, The Tipping Point. So stay tuned, and we'll be back after this song. This is Rebecca Schiffman's Passing Fantasy.
To, and I need you to see.
Okay, that was Rebecca Schiffman's 2010 song, Passing Fantasy. Now, what we're going to play now is an interview with Monica Gartner, which was done with our producer, Emily. She founded a nonprofit organization, founded a nonprofit organization and wrote a book on inspiration for people with disability. She spoke to our producer, Emily, again, about securing funding for mobility devices, public safety for those in wheelchairs, and how inaccessible public transportation can be for those in Vancouver. So without further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and play this interview.
My disability is osteogenesis imperfecta. So osteo means bone, genesis meaning genetic, imperfecta meaning not exactly perfect, but then who is? So the bones from the beginning are not perfect. So my bones are fragile and they break easily.
Monica has a full-time government job and so only receives long-term disability for home care. She requires assistance with showering, meal prep, laundry, and other daily tasks around the home. But there's a trade-off for finding full-time employment when you require home care.
There is such a thing called persons with disability funding, but I'm not on that anymore because I found work. Because of that, it becomes problematic sometimes because you're kind of in that gray area. You're not making excessive amounts of money, but at the same time, you're making money, so you don't go get as many services as you would when you're unemployed. Because I'm in my own home, I have to pay a service fee, sort of, in order to use the services. And the more money you make, the more you have to pay. And at one point, I was paying over $500 per month for the pleasure of working. Which at some point, some people with disabilities said it's not worth working anymore because half of your savings is going into paying for home care. Yet if you're not working, You don't have to pay for anything. You know, so that just doesn't make sense.
Monica has written to the federal government about home care. She believes that home care should be covered under the Canadian Health Act because it's a service that some people with disabilities cannot live without. Mobility equipment, such as motorized or manual wheelchairs, aren't completely covered for those even with employment. For those with jobs, it can be a constant juggling act of what you can afford that month. Food or wheelchair payment, home care or bus pass.
Now, when it comes to things like mobility equipment, if you make over, I think it is $35,000 a year, you no longer qualify for wheelchair equipment. And people, most people with disabilities are in low-level entry positions.
Monica's job paid for 80% of her wheelchair, but at $22,000, she was responsible for the remaining $4,400. Luckily, she had enough saved up to pay for the uncovered cost. For many, that isn't a viable option.
Well, if I didn't have enough, I would have to take out a small loan. Because a wheelchair is necessary. And, you know, I would have to cover it somehow. Put it on my credit card and pay it off slowly. You know, food, shelter is something that we all need to financially be prepared to pay. But for a person with a disability, the added need is your electric wheelchair. And so you have to find the money somehow. If you didn't have that network, you know, $40,000 wheelchair, you'd have to take a loan out. Or you don't work so that you can get it. And I find that's really sad. If the government wants to help people be gainfully employed, then they have to supply the necessary equipment. And I'm fairly certain, although I haven't crunched the numbers, that it is a small price to pay to get somebody out and into society doing something. You have to think of not only physical well-being, but your mental health as well. And it's not good to isolate oneself and not be around other people. So I strongly believe the government should be supplying electric wheelchairs and manual wheelchairs too.
Although Monica can drive and went through an extremely arduous process to get a van fitted for her, many people with disabilities can't drive or can't afford to fund a specialty vehicle. While public transportation can often be taken for granted, it's a very different story for others with disabilities.
Summertime is different than the wintertime because in the summertime it's warmer outside, so I'm not really exposed that much to the elements. In the wintertime, I have pins in my arms and legs, and especially in my arms, pins and metal plates. So in the wintertime, my arms are very cold and become very painful sitting, waiting for a bus or going by using public transit. So that's why I decided to use Handy Dart. Using a taxi is extremely expensive.
Monica regularly uses Handy Dart, Vancouver's arm of public transportation that provides door-to-door ride service for people with disabilities. You have to submit an application to use the services, and that includes personal information about your disability and your doctor's information. You must call their number to book a trip, at least one day in advance, but no more than 7 days out.
Every week I have to call. And you can only call a week in advance. You can't make two bookings if it's not a week in advance. So that's problematic. So I have to, like, on my lunch break, and you can't do it on your lunch break because the phone lines are jammed. So there I am trying to work, and I'm on hold, you know, working away and trying to make a phone call to book my ride for the following week. Every week I've got to do this. It's ridiculous. It's unfortunate that our transportation system has not evolved to the point where it is more flexible. When I was in my 20s, you had to book 5 days in advance. Now it's 7 days in advance. So the system is not working.
Another concern for those in wheelchairs is public safety. Some items, such as lights for her wheelchair, are considered add-ons by her insurance company, so Monica purchased aftermarket lights that were $500 less than the customary safety lights. She says having lights all around her wheelchair is imperative for safety.
A gentleman that I know through the Disability Foundation got hit by a vehicle crossing the street because he wasn't seen. And I myself have been hit in the wheelchair in broad daylight in the summertime. So having lights is an extra little bit of protection. I've almost had a few people in my lap because they're not paying attention. The bright light all of a sudden shocks people's eyes, and that prevents injury from happening, not only to me, but from the person who's not paying attention as well.
Monica not only advocates for herself, but for others with disabilities as well. She started a nonprofit called the Canadian Assisted Travel Society that assists disabled Canadians in paying for a personal care attendant while they're traveling. There are many extra costs for those with disabilities since home care services aren't covered while you're on the road. She also just finished her first book, released earlier this year.
So I wrote a book called Overcoming the Impossible, A Life of Trials and Triumphs. And what it's about is it's about the story of my life and the challenges that I've had over the years, from going to school, elementary, high school, being teased, emotionally how it affected me, the big questions in life, how am I going to move out? What am I going to do as in a living? And then getting my driver's license. And it took 5.5 years to get my driver's license. I'm really quite hopeful about the future. Yes, life is challenging, but I'm hoping that with my book, people can see that if they have dreams, hopes and dreams, they can still fulfill them, even if you're in a wheelchair or if you've been diagnosed with a challenging disease or disorder. Life is precious, and I don't think we should give up. There's lots that can be done. You may have to do it differently than what you originally thought you would be able to do, but it doesn't mean that you can't do it. So I encourage people to press on.
Awesome, and that was our interview with Emily, our producer, and Monica Gartner. So before we go on a little break here, I just want to introduce you to our next singer that we're going to play his song, their song. This is Kai Plant. This is their song, Someone Said. Now, Kai Plant will be performing December 30th at the Copper Owl with Iceberg Ferg and Chance Lovett. Kai Plant is a queer person living in Victoria, BC, who writes songs about depression, addiction, and gender. Someone Said, the song I'm about to play, is off their newly released album called Thank You for Mental Illness. So guys, take a listen. It's over, there's a heart a little colder. Someone said goodbye, but you don't know why. Somewhere there is someone keeping all the tears they have been weeping. Someone said goodbye, but you don't know why. Is there a reason why a broken heart begins to cry? Is there a reason you were lost although you don't know why? Say goodbye. If there's a reason, I don't know why. Always looking for a meaning, all the time you keep believing, but I don't know why. You won't say goodbye, even when the sun is shining. You don't see the silver lining, but I don't know why. You won't say goodbye. Is there a reason why a broken heart begins to cry?
much inside. If there's a reason, I don't know why.
Listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here. God. Ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Ugh. Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Do you enjoy singing, drumming, and spending time in a good environment? Then SFU's Vancity Office of Community Engagement and SFU's Office of Aboriginal Peoples are inviting you to join the singing and drumming workshops. Led by Russell Wallace, a composer, producer, and traditional Lil Wat singer, Salish singing and drumming workshops are free and open to everyone. Join Russell on October 18th, November 22nd, and January 12th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Gold Corp Center for the Arts, located on 149 West Hastings Street. For more information, visit sfuwoodwards.ca or find Salish Singing and Drumming Workshops on Facebook. Invite your friends.
Hey guys, you were just listening to the song Someone Said by Kai Plant. Now, as we come in to exam season, it's really important that we keep a couple things in mind. So here on All Access Pass, our show, we cover topics of accessibility for those with visible disabilities, but also invisible disabilities. Now, exam season starts next week, and for many students, the stress that accompanies it can be overwhelming. Mental health issues and academic-related anxiety are very real realities for many students on UBC campus and on campuses in general. In a survey done by the NCHA, the National College Health Assessment, in 2013, 56.5% of students reported feeling overwhelming anxiety in the past 12 months, while another 37.5% reported having difficulties functioning due to depression. Anxiety and depression are very real and serious mental health issues and can be offset by existing disabilities. Many of you may have heard of our next interview guest. Her name is Ji-An, and her blog post, I Dropped Out of School, which she posted on Facebook, was shared hundreds and hundreds of times. She currently leads an academic movement called The Tipping Point, and she sat down with our producer, Emily, and shared her experiences on what led her to decide to drop out of UBC. So we're just going to go ahead and play that.
By the second year of Ji-An Kim's undergrad degree at the University of British Columbia, she was the co-founder of a poverty awareness student group. She'd completed her first year in the extremely competitive Science One program. She was part of the Science Undergraduate Society. She volunteered for the Sexual Assault Support Center. She even worked 10 hours a week and commuted 2 hours a day to campus. She was in a relationship. She had close friends. She had what appeared to be an extremely bright future. But underneath all of Jeanne's achievements and all of Jeanne's successes, the light was almost non-existent. Her life was close to ending.
Hello, my name is Jeanne. I've had depression since I was 15, but I didn't have suicidal ideations until my second year of university.
Jeanne excelled in high school. AP courses, jazz band, powerlifting, hockey. She'd been in counseling for mild depression even, but that had faded away during her senior year.
And then university happened. I dealt with it for a really long time. It's what's called chronic intent, where your intentions become long-term and it becomes more calculative. So I actually have attempted suicide 5 times in total since January 2015.
Jeanne understood the competitive nature of UBC and of the Science One program. She thrived on productivity and hard work, but didn't realize the extent of her own emotional suppression until it was almost too late.
I felt really proud of myself for being able to do all of these things, but really my health was deteriorating incredibly fast, but it became incredibly toxic and I just burned out. When I say burned out, I mean I attempted suicide in January 2015. And so when you hit that point, it's like, okay, let's retreat. This is not okay.
She was the top of her class in high school, but in this incredibly smart new cohort of students, she was about average. She started piling on extra activities to make up for her drop in confidence and class rank.
Self-worth is really big. I think especially in coming from the Asian Canadian background, productivity is very important. My self-worth, I define my self-worth by my productivity and my academic success. But then realizing that academia wasn't working so well for me that year, I got involved in my extracurriculars and I realized like, oh, I'm really good at this too. So even if I do poorly in the program academically, at least I've got this. And so it was a lot about proving myself, proving to my parents that I was good enough, to myself that I was good enough. If you start defining your self-worth based on your academic performance, which is huge for university students, especially at UBC, that's not healthy. That's not okay. And you have to allow yourself, you have to be gentle with yourself, you know. Even if you do really poorly this semester, next semester you can start over again. You can start fresh. You are not defined by what your grades were this past semester. And I think it's also really important for people to be taking some time off on their own. I think this idea of work hard, play hard is really great, but you should work hard, play hard, and rest hard.
That motto comes easier to her now that she's 21. Back in her university days, maintaining mental health and emotional awareness wasn't the top of her list, or really anyone else's.
Amongst student leaders, that was my experience in second year, we don't talk about mental health at all. It's just you overwork not only academically but also extracurriculars. And I think it's just the same way in amongst all students, really, is that we don't talk about mental health and we don't talk about the preventive aspects of mental health so much, or the supportive aspects. We bring in like puppies and we offer free tea, and that's really good in the short term, like maybe for that day, but long term, which is how mental illness happens, it's really not helpful at all. It doesn't really make an impact. And so I think that's a conversation that the entire university should be having, is more long-term solutions.
After taking 8 months off from school, she transferred faculties to the anthropology department. She got trapped in her overachieving mindset once again and signed up for 4 classes. She quickly dropped 2. She medically dropped her 3rd course due to visual hallucinations stemming from an anxiety attack around an exam. She returned once more, true Jeanne style, in January of 2016. Just one course, living at home, not working, no extracurriculars.
Okay, let's go at this one last time. Just one course. Let's do this. Every Monday morning, I just cried in bed, not being able to get out of it. And feeling that shame of not being able to get out of bed. And then it's like, you can't even take one course. And then you can't do school. And then the suicidal ideation kicks in. And it's just a snowball effect. I actually did not see the sun for those 3-4 months because I would get out of bed at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I was sleeping 13 hours a night. And so by the time I was out the door, it was already dusk.
In April of 2016, after finishing her very last exam, Jeanne wrote a public post on social media. She was dropping out of school. She received an overwhelming response with over 700 reactions and almost 50 shares. In it, she detailed how hard she'd tried and how she finally came to the conclusion that school is not for everyone.
I eventually realized that it's not me. It's not just me, it's also the system. The system doesn't work for me. I kind of think of it as a relationship, that university and I are just incompatible. And personally, I felt like I had done everything that I could to try and stay in that relationship, but I felt like the university didn't do it enough to keep me around. And so I decided, like, hey, I've tried for 2 years. This is not going to work. Maybe in the future, but not now. And so I dumped it, I guess.
The following October, she founded The Tipping Point, an advocacy group that pushes for post-secondary institutions like UBC to better support student mental health. The Facebook page received over 1,000 likes within the first 4 days. She still receives messages from current and past students about their own struggles with mental health.
The Tipping Point, it started with my story, but I eventually want to make it not just about me and my story, but about the stories of all of these people who are going through this. Not just the people who have been forced out, but also the current students who are really struggling to stay in school. Because there are too many. And even just one person is too many. Having gone through that lived experience myself, it's a traumatic experience and it screws up your life.
Jeanne sees a future for herself that exists outside of the post-secondary education system. She's currently speaking at events and meeting with the social entrepreneurial community in Vancouver. She says she's learned a lot outside of university, how to negotiate, empathize, network with people, and more importantly, self-worth outside of academia.
People care about your personality and your experiences and your authenticity, not your GPA. I actually want to create an alternative to the traditional post-secondary education system for people who don't necessarily need that bachelor's degree. I want to create an alternative that is based on the foundations of health and wellness and community first, and then you have these millennials coming together and being like, what the hell do we want to do with our lives, and trying to find that sense of purpose, and that's personal development, and then together as a community trying to find career opportunities, which would be professional development. And I am now in contact with a lot of entrepreneurs of different industries who would be totally down to support these millennials who are...
Hey there, you are listening to All Access Pass. You were just listening to Emily, our producer, and our interviewee, Jeanne, who is the founder of The Tipping Point, an academic advocacy group movement. So now, just before we head into break, we're going to play a song. This is Ez Mindy Dumb. Dumb is a local BC band. And after the break, we're going to bring your attention to something that's going on both internationally and in Vancouver. It's the Disability Day on December 3rd, so stay tuned for that and enjoy this next song.
Thank you. TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities.
They are doing this by developing gender-affirming, client-centered models of service.
Ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available.
And supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support.
Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for the trans members of our community.
December 2nd and 3rd is Vancouver's fourth annual Big Joy Festival. Big Joy presents a broad spectrum of what Vancouver's weirdo music scene has to offer, casting a wide net across many genres and styles. The festival is 2 days of experimental sound, featuring artists Hick, Chris Cogburn, Today is an Orange Day, Sarah Gold, and Alexandra Spence at the Remington Gallery and Studio. Get your tickets at Red Kite Records, Audiopile, Selectors, or online at brownpapertickets.com.
Hey guys, that song you were listening to just now was Esmindi by the band Dumb. It's off their album, their newly released album, Mustang Law. It was released just this last month. So with that, before we head off for our episode for today, we just want to draw your attention to something that's happening this Saturday. It's the International Persons with Disability Day. So maybe some of you guys don't know that there is this disability day, but there is, and in fact, it's celebrated annually on December 3rd, and this day was started in 1976, but was later officially introduced in 1992 by the United Nations. It was designed to not only promote a greater understanding of disability issues, but also to understand those affected by a disability. With everyone working together, it helps to make people more aware of rights, dignity, and welfare of people living with a disability, as well as bringing awareness from an economic to political to social and cultural norm. Through this disability day, this disability day is not concerned exclusively with either mental or physical disabilities, is encompassed to all known disabilities, such as autism to Down syndrome to multiple sclerosis. It was originally called International Day of Disabled Persons in 2007, and each year the day focuses on a different theme. For example, in 2013, the theme was Break Barriers, Open Doors, for an Inclusive Society and Development for All. And then in 2014, the theme was Sustainable Development, the Promise of Technology. And last year, in 2015, the theme was Inclusion Matters, Access and Empowerment for People of All Abilities. And this year's theme in 2016 is Achieving 17 Goals for the Future We Want. Now, how is it celebrated? Now, Disability Day is used for holding discussions, forums, and campaigns related to a disability on a global scale. And communities are encouraged to organize meetings, talks, and even performances in their local areas. This can range from hosting a musical to a play with a person living with a disability being involved in these productions. Now, by doing this, it educates the society that any person living with a disability can be a vibrant member, and if treated as an outsider, it can lead to different types of discrimination and various degrees of unkindness. A person with a disability, on the other hand, benefits from such performances by proving to themselves that there are many things they can still do despite their conditions, which can help their self-esteem and avoid mental health issues such as depression from being tormented. In general, these events are meant to challenge and get rid of various stereotypes so that people of all forms of disability can enjoy their lives freely from discrimination and additional hardship. Now, in Vancouver, there's an awesome event going on. It's taking place in the Roundhouse Community Arts and Recreation Center. They are holding a free but registered event that starts from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There will be live performances, entertainment, an art show and sale, discussions, workshops, films, and there'll also be PEB talks, Project Everybody talks, which is a short series of inspirational and interesting talks. So definitely take a look at that. The event will have something for everyone, and it is wheelchair accessible, and ASL interpreters will be available as well. So for additional information or questions you may have, you can email the organizers. Their email is info@everybody.ca. So with that, we're going to conclude the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. I want to thank Monica and Gian for allowing us to interview this week, as well as the amazing work by our producer Emily and our longtime contributor, DP. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. We have Instagram. And if you want to get involved, become a volunteer, or just suggest a topic, you can email us at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. We're always looking for new angles and new topics to cover, and we love your input. And we encourage you guys to tune in next week. It's our last show before we head into our little winter holidays. Now stick around for Synchro City. It's up next with Marie.
Sean from Youth Brigade, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
Missing, I'll sacrifice my flesh. What's up, y'all? Okay, so this is a record. It's going to be live. So you can act like you're at a club. And if you like something, you can go, oh. If you don't like something, you can go, oh. And so basically the premise of this record we're doing, most of it is, you know, coming from my Black Radio records. I don't know how many of you have my Black Radio album. Thank you guys so much. So winning an R&B album of the year Grammy and stuff. Thank you so much. You guys are amazing. So coming off that, I felt like doing a trio record now, I didn't want to, you know, go straight jazz, you know, off top, boom, out of nowhere. So I want to do a nice happy medium and do songs that I like, basically from my iPod, you know. So these are different songs from different genres, different artists, songs that I just like, you know, to listen to. So we're going to play some of those mixed in with some stuff that I, you know, trio stuff that we've played back in the day, but we never recorded. These guys playing with me are on my original trio albums. When I first got signed to Blue Note, I did two records, straight up trio, Canvas and In My Element. Yeah. And these are my original guys, and that's Vicente Archer on the bass. Yeah. On the drums, it's Mr. Damion Reed.